Sorry.
Parshas Vayechi. You know, in a Torah, in Judaism, in Yiddishkeit, brachos are a very big deal. Brachos are a very big deal. We find the brachos and klalos in the Torah. We find the koyach for Klal Yisrael. Avraham Avinu is given the koyach to give brachos. People go to Rebbes. There's brachos koyanim. You find inside the Gemara says in brachos Avraham Adalef, we have a case of Yishmael ben Elisha, was a koyan gadol. And he once came with Snaiva Lifnim to Beis Migdosh. Because Baruch Hu says to him, Yishmol Bani Borcheni, Yishmol my son, give me a bracha. Can you imagine? The Rebbein Shalim himself goes to the Kohen Gadol, the boss of Adom, and says, give me a bracha. And he gave him a bracha. And he says to him, Hamatla Yerotzim Fanecho, Shich Bushurach Mecho. Now, Mecho, give him a whole bracha, how he should be passionate. He should be compassionate to Klal Yisrael, he should be merciful to Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says in the end, Kamash Malon, what's the chiddush of this piece of Gemara? Shleite birchas hedyit kala beinecho. That you should never take a brocha of an hedyit lightly in your eyes. It's a very, very big thing. Even Rabbi Yisrael appreciated the brocha of a boss of Adam. In other words, brochas are a very, very big deal in Klal Yisrael. People go for all over the world for brochas, from Rebbes to Midah Chachamim. It's a big deal. You know, even on a more emotional level, Friday night, the family get together, the father's been busy the whole week, the mother's been busy the whole week, the children been busy the whole week, and you come after shul, everyone's standing there, the malachim are still there, and you give the children a bracha, a brachas habonim. You have times where Klal Yisrael, Rachmanu Litzlan, were stages where parents never thought they'd ever see the children again before the Holocaust, sending them away on kinder transport. You call them the children, Yivrech Hashem Yishmerech, you give a bracha. You have Rachman Litzan, a person just before they die, going for a very, very dangerous, critical operation. The father comes, calls his children together, and gives him Rech Hashem Yishmerech. In other words, it's a very big deal. Bracha is a very, very big deal. In this sixth parasha, we have the key to the ultimate bracha. And I'd like to work through it carefully, and we find out in an amazing, absolutely amazing, yesod, that's going to, hopefully, if we learn this properly, we can understand why it's such a big deal, this particular bracha Yaakovina gave to Ephraim and Manasseh. The Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says, Vayivorech, second. And he gave them a bracha on that day, saying that this, B'cho yivorech Yisrael leimor. So will Yisrael bless his children, saying. The Rashbam says, over here it's referring to Ishas Benoi. The key for a father to give a bracha to his son is, Yesimcha Elohim, Ephraim uchu Menashe veYosim es Ephraim lifnei Menashe. Hakadosh Baruch Hu should make you like Ephraim and Menashe. That is a brigus bracha. Yaakovina is saying for all future generations the bracha is Hakadosh Baruch Hu should make you my child like Ephraim and Menashe. And that's what we do. Yeah, Simcha lekim Ephraim and Menashe. That is the bracha we give. What is so special about Ephraim and Menashe? What is so unique about them? Why are they so unbelievably powerful that we should, for all future generations, forget about Avram and Yitzchok and Yaakov and forget about all of them? And we say Ephraim and Manasseh, what is so unique about that, that we use that as the ultimate bracha in a generation where they had great, great tzaddikim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we forget about them. And in a religion where brachas are so crucial, brachas are so respected, and we say Ephraim and Manasseh, what's the idea behind that? So I believe there are three mahalchim. And with Sefer Dishnaya, I believe that there's a secret, a code. I found this sixth parasha that actually opened up our eyes to this. One idea is that this, we all know such a thing called sibling rivalry. Yeah, brothers don't get on. And we just have to look in the previous generation of Yosef's brothers, how the family literally fell apart over a Ksenas Pasin, over a piece of clothing. The Yaakovina gave to Yeshiv over the brothers. That was what the whole fight was about. Within twin brothers, you can imagine that there's much more jealousy, there's much more comparing, there's much more elements of looking over your shoulder, how people treating my brother, how they're dealing with them. Very, very, very difficult to treat every child as an equal, certainly when you have twin brothers. And over here in this week's parasha, we have a final Menashe. There are twin brothers. Sorry. They were born very closely together, not twin brothers. They're born very, very closely together, not twin brothers. They're born very, very closely together. And the ages were very, very close. And yet, Ephraim, who's a younger brother, was given that much more respect than Menashe. Whenever Yaakov Avinu mentioned the final Menashe, always was a final for Menashe. Yishimcha lekim, ke Ephraim ke Menashe. Who was older? Menashe than Ephraim. He had his whole idea of sikeles yodov, changing over his hands, swapping them over. The whole idea of that, again, putting the right hand over Ephraim and the left hand over Menashe. What's going on here? Why is he doing this? Yaakov Avinu, what's going on here? Yaakov Avinu, you've seen how terrible it is to cause jealousy. And yet we see absolutely no hint and no mention of Ephraim making any kind of backlash and hatred to Menashe. We don't find that bechlal. We find nothing bechlal of any kind of jealousy between Menashe and Ephraim. And Menashe did nothing to Ephraim, at all to show his upset that Yaakov Avinu is favoring him and respecting him, or we see nothing of that bechlal. The bracha we give our children is that children are different. Children each have their own koiches, each have their own challenges. But the bracha we give our children is that however HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, whether it's parnasa, whether it's seichel, whether it's having your own children, whether it's your position in life, please do not have jealousy. Be like a fine Menashe. Be like a case where you have Ephraim was clearly the younger brother, and Menashe was pushed aside, and Menashe had absolutely no jealousy. So the first idea is a bracha that is giving a bracha on kinah. On kinah. That children should not have any form of kinah, any form of jealousy.
Can I explain why you should be blessed like Menashe, but not like Ephraim?
You should be like the relationship of Ephraim and Menashe. The relationship of Ephraim and Menashe, where Menashe had clearly no problems against Ephraim, that should be the relationship of all the children forever and ever. That's one idea. The second idea is an idea that is very, very strong. It's a very powerful idea. And that is, it's easy to be frum in a frum environment. Very easy to be frum in a frum environment. In the yeshiva, everyone looks the same, dresses the same, more or less, learns the same. You know, it's very difficult to see where a person's holding when they're in yeshiva. The only time you really see where a person's holding is when they're leaving yeshiva and they go out to the big wide world. You know, they say a moshel like it's, if you have cut grass on top of grass that is connected to the ground, it's very difficult to see what's connected, what's disconnected, until the wind blows. Once the wind blows, you see clearly who's disconnected and who's connected. That's very, very much like that in yeshiva. We don't know, one doesn't know where one's holding until one actually leaves yeshiva and one's put into a nisyanus and one fights a nisyanus in a way, or one doesn't fight a chumal nitzan. But that is the idea of if somebody being in yeshiva, you can't really see what's going on. Bring a moshel of somebody sitting by a table and everyone, all friends sitting around him, you can't see he's a cripple until he tries to leave. Once he tries to leave and tries to move away, and everyone else walks away and he's in a wheelchair, that's when you see if he's a cripple. It's very, very easy to be frum in a frum environment. It's very easy to talk the talk and walk the walk. But what's extremely difficult is to be frum in an environment where everybody thinks you're crazy. Everybody is doing something else. Everybody thinks you're being frum. Everyone thinks you're completely being, you're being pious, and they think that you've lost it. Now, Beisai, Ephraim and Menashe were not brought up together with Reuben and Shimon and Levi next to Yaakov Avinu. They're not brought up in an environment where Yaakov Avinu was watching them. They had a Das Torah, they had Tamei Chachamim, they had Chavrusos, they had the Yeshiva. They didn't have that. They were born in Sin City. They were born in, you know, they made Vegas look like Meir Sha'orim, Mitzrayim. No, it's just the way it was. It was a place, the epitome of Tumah, the epitome of Avodah Zarah, the epitome of Gila Arayus. It was unbelievably Tomei. The taiva there of Mitzrayim was incomparable to anything we have today. And not only did they bring up Jews there, not only did they bring up from Jews there, not only did they bring up Tamei Chachamim there, they brought up Shiftei Ka, they brought up Shvatim in Mitzrayim. That is unbelievable. Says Yaakov, I'm telling you, Klal Yisrael, the bracha you should give to your children is not only should they be from in the yeshiva, but wherever they go, even in the Mitzrayim, they should be able to rise above and become great like Ephraim and Manasseh. To become special, like to become shifted core in an environment where everybody else is completely thinking you crazy. Pushing away everyone else's ideals and following your idealism of Torah and Yerushalayim. That is the second message. In other words, the bracha to be able to counter tithe. Okay? The third idea. The third idea the Mefarshim bring down is the idea of the saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It doesn't take more than just going to a local, you know, go to a parking lot, and you got a person who is being paid minimum wage, and he is in charge of that parking lot. He turns into a tyrant. When he in the parking lot, he is the king of that parking lot. He'll tell you when. There's no room. There's plenty of room I can see. Ni balabaipo. Finish. That's it. Rachman al-San, in the Nazis, the normal German citizens, they were given a gun and power, they turn into monsters. Power corrupts. Ephraim and Manasseh were not just little Tamid Chachomim walking around Mitzrayim. They had unbelievable power. They could go and kill whoever they wanted. Nobody even blink. They had power. Nobody could move the hand and the leg. If the father didn't say so. They had amongst them all the politicians. They were running the palace. They were the second most powerful man in the entire world. Yehuda was the longest reigning king in Jewish history. And they had all the power. Ephraim and Manasseh were running the house. And we don't find that it affected them at all. At all. Ish Asher Beisoy was Ephraim. It didn't matter at all. It didn't make an effect on them whatsoever. See, here we have Rabbi Yisai. We have Shiftei Kor. We have Shvatim. We have the leaders of Klal Yisrael were born in Mitzrayim with all the kovod. And there was neither kina, nor taiva, nor kovod. Listen to this. Says the Mishnah. Ha-kina va-taiva va-ha-kovod mitzrayim es ha-odam in ha-olam. What does kina, taiva, and kovod do? It completely rubs you out. It eradicates you from this world. It takes you away. It kills you. Okay? Kina taiva kovod destroys you. What happens if you rise above the kina taiva and kovod? What happens if you don't let it affect you? What happens? You become supernatural. In other words, you don't allow it to affect you. You build on it and you control it. You control life. Now, Rabbi Shai, the only time in history, besides today, by the way, the only time in history we find that there's no Yiridus HaDeiros, no natural decline of morals, was by Ephraim and Manasseh. The Pasuk says, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were the children of Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh k'ruvein v'shimoin yuli. They should be to me like Reuben and Shimon. In other words, they defied Yiridus HaDeiros. They became like their father's generation. Understand? So kina taiva and kovod wipes you out. Mitzinus odom in ha'olam. But if it doesn't, Ephraim and Manasseh k'ruvein v'shimon yuli. Ephraim and Manasseh become like Reuben and Shimon. They become so special, they become supernatural. They come over and above the norm and you can't wipe them out. Abay Shai, look at this pasuk. And I showed this to various Melech HaChomim and some of them almost kissed me. Apostle says like this. In Pehemem Ches Posuk Hey, then see it like this. Look at this. I need to help me with this posuk. Anyone doesn't have a chumish? Look at this. Look at this up over here. Mem Ches Posuk Hey. So basically, what do we have? Three different pshatim. Okay. The final nasha. We have kina. There's no kinna between the two. Yeah, Ephraim and Manasseh, not Manasseh and Ephraim. There was no taiva, even though born in Mitzrayim. No element of kovod, even though they're up there. And what happened to them? They defied Yehudah Sadeiris. Says a pasuk.
Memches
pasuk hey. Va'ato. And now says Yaakovina Chiddush. Shnei vonecho. Your two sons. Hanoilodin lecho be'eretz Mitzrayim. They were born where? In Eretz Mitzrayim. What's Eretz Mitzrayim? What does it define? What does it depict? Absolute Tiber. In other words, these two boys were born in Tiber. Abo'i elecho Mitzrayimo. And I came to you in Mitzrayim. What's Yaakov saying? What's going on here? Who goes to whom? Who goes home to who for Yom Tov? The parents to the children to the parents. What am I doing coming to you? Abo'i elecho Mitzrayimo. I came to you. Why do I come to you, Yosef? What Abo'i elecho? Until I came to you, why did I come to you? Because you're Moshe Kol Ha'aretz. You are running the whole world. You are running the finance and the money and the food of everyone. So I came to you. Why did I come to you? The tremendous code you had. I've got to connect to that. Abo'i elecho, I came to you. That's number two. What is that? The covers. He had the tithe and the covers. Ephraim and Manasseh. Number three. The whole time I've been talking about Ephraim and then Manasseh. Who's older? Manasseh. Does Manasseh make any fuss? No. Ephraim Manasseh is no.
Kinna.
Kru'uvein v'shimun yuli. Because there's no kinna, taiva, and covered, there is no mitzin, it's an odom and o'ilom, they can become, to me, like Reuben and Shimon. They can actually rise above the Yudas Adairus, and become to me, as if there was no Yudas Adairus, they become to me the same level as Reuben and Shimon. So these three pshatim, kinna, taiva, and covered, the taiva was Mitzrayim, Boy Alecho was a covered, Ephraim and Asher is the kinna, there's no kinna, no taiva, and covered, the result was, Ephraim and Manasseh, they come like Reuben and Shimon. There's no Mitzim in Sha'olam. They actually survived and they actually became like Reuben and Shimon rather than having Yeridus Adayus. So here we have all four pshatim of why Ephraim and Manasseh are so special. No kinna, no tithe, no covet, and no Yeridus Adayus. That is what we wish into our children. Now, Abesai, how did they do it? How did they do it? How did Yosef do it in Mitzrayim? Again, Sin City. Running Sin City. Yeah, he is running. He is the governor, the senator of the worst place morally in the world. With all the power. And there's no kinner. And there's no tiber. And there's no covet. And in fact, it becomes shiftei kah. How did he do it? How did a Ephraim Manasseh be born? How did they live like that? How did they possibly survive? Look at this. There's an unbelievable Yalkut Shemini. Yalkut Shemini says, on the pasuk says later on, "Vayoyim aleim Yosef." Right at the end of the parasha, towards the end of the sefer, Yaakov already died, and the brothers are petrified that Yosef now is going to take his revenge. They're so terrible to him. They ruined his life for so many years. They felt that that's it. Yosef is going to take his revenge. So perik nun pasuk yutes. The pasuk beforehand talks about them all. Yiplu lefonav, or fell down in front of him. Yemehin lecho avodim, we avodim to you. Vayoyim aleim Yosef. Yosef said, "Al tiro, do not fear. Ki hatachas elekim oni, am I in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" Okay, hatachas elekim oni, am I in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Yalkut Shemini. I want to read out what he says in Meshalach. Vayoyid. In the Midbar, we had the Oren HaBris, the Oren of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Inside was the Shivrei Luchos and the Luchos. We're going through the Midbar. What was next to it? The Oren of Yosef. For Hoyu Umay Sa'olam Oymalehem, and the Umay Sa'olam would say, "Ma Tivam Shabeis Arenas Halodu? What's Pshat? What's going on here? Why are there two Arenas over here? Why are there two different Orens here? What's going on here?" And they would answer them, "This is the oron of a dead person, and this is the oron of a Kodesh Baruch Hu." For the umos oimrim, and the umos oim would say, "Mativo shel meis mahalach im oron cheilomim. Why is a meis going with the Rebbeinu Shleilom?" And they said, "Hamunach bo oron zeh kayim ashekosa bezeh. The one who's lying in this oron over here fulfilled what it said in this oron over here." Bezeh kosva ani Hashem alekim, ani Hashem alekecho, ani Hashem alekecho, I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ube Yosef kosov hatachas Hashem Oni, am I in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In other words, Rabbi Yisrael, listen to this. We have an Orin going through the Midbar. We have Yosef in the Orin. And the Pasuk says, Yosef said, Tachas Elikim Oni, am I in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi Yisrael, am I in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So what did Yosef say? Can I do anything to you? Yeah, Tachas Elikim Oni. They go through the Midbar. And people are saying, why is there Yosef next to the Orin Bris Hashem? So he says, you know why? Because this person kept the Noich Hashem Alekecho. He believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is worthy to go next to the Noich Hashem Alekecho. Ask the Baruch Mordecho Ezrachi an unbelievable question. How difficult is it to believe in Noich Hashem Alekecho? Who doesn't believe in Noich Hashem Alekecho? Onoichi Hashem Alekecho Asher Tisich HaMetzrayim. I am your God who took you out of Egypt. Shkoyach. Who doesn't believe in that? A total apocryphus. Who else did? Who else took you out of Mitzrayim? We know we were in Mitzrayim, and first Baruch took us out. How difficult is it to keep a Noich Hashem Alekecho? Why? You know, what's the big deal? Yosef kept Noich Hashem Alekecho. We don't. What's the chiddush? He said that this. He says, you know how few people believe in Noich Hashem Alekecho? Very, very few. Very, very few people believe in Noich Hashem Alekecho. Give an example. Parnasa. Kodesh Baruch Hu, please, give me Parnasa. Kodesh Baruch Hu, I know you're the one who gives Parnasa. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, please, please, don't mess it up for me. I know how to do business. Negotiations are going well. I know my customers are. I know how to make the back. Kodesh Baruch Hu, please don't mess it up. Don't get in the way. Now, is this person believing in Noich Hashem Alekecho? He's believing in the Noich Hashem Alekecho, and there's me as well. There's a God, and there's me. A person gives you a terrible insult. If a person's a ma'amin, he knows it came from Rabbeinu Shlomo. He's just delivering the message. He's delivering the message. His own separate cheshbon. That's his own bechir, his own separate cheshbon. He's delivering the message. So what do? You punish a postman. Yeah, but what right does he have to give me that message? 1 second. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you a message, and you've got a taina. Well, yeah, but what does he have to give me the message? So there's you, and there's Rabbeinu Shlomo. All the way through life, we have to identify there's nothing else but Anochi Hashem Alekecho. There is knowing, there's nowhere and nothing in the whole world besides Anochi Hashem Alekecho. Yosef, says Rashi, is being challenged by his brothers. The Pasuk says, Yosef is going to kill us, says Rashi. Ki etachas elekim oni, am I in the place of Kadosh Baruch Hu, says Rashi. Shemo b'mekoymoy ani. Now understand this carefully, says Rashi. Im hayisi reisel hara lachem, klum ani yochel. If I want to do bad to you, I couldn't even if I wanted to. V'haloy atem kulchem cheshavtim alai ro. You all tried to do bad to me. V'haKadosh Baruch Hu chosh v'latoyim. V'haKadosh Baruch Hu thought otherwise, and he did good to me. V'heich ani levadi yochel lehira lachem. How can I possibly do bad to you? Now if you don't learn this Rashi properly, we learn Pshat like this. Yosef says to his brothers, why should I do bad to you? Things turned out okay anyway. Yeah, look at me. Baruch Hashem. It looks so terrible. You tried to do bad to me, here I am. That's not Pshat. Pshat is, says Yosef, not everything turned out okay. It is not possible for me to do any bad to you, even if I wanted to. You're worried about me doing bad to you? Look what you tried to do to me, and look how it turned out. Look what happened. You tried to kill me. You tried to sell me. And look at me. I'm the king of Mitzrayim. If I want to do bad to you, is it possible for me to do bad to you? Is there anything in the whole world besides the Kirch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is there anything in the whole world besides the Noich Hashem Alekecho? There's nothing else in the whole world. And therefore, even if I want to do bad to you, it's not possible. It's not feasible. It's not something that is in my power to do. Why? Because there's only a Noich Hashem Alekecho. That's it. If there's only a Noich Hashem Alekecho, Rabbi Yisrael, if a father believes that so real, in his eyes, that is the only reality. What is taiva? What is kinna? What is kavod? What is this target? Taiva. I want this. Okay, you want this. But who are you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's not good for you. So forget it. There's no taiva, kinna. I think I should have what other person has. Yeah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't think so. And therefore, completely bevatel yourself. There's no kinna. Kavod. Kavod, wait, you want kavod? You did this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for you. You weren't covered. There's no kinna, there's no taiva, there's no covered if you have a Noich Hashem Alekecho. Yosef was so clear. He was so, it was so crystally clear to him that absolutely there's no existence in the world besides Meich Hashem Alekecho, that he managed to give over the message to his own children that there's no kinna, there's no taiva, and there's no kovod. That was how his children managed to survive. In an environment where there's nothing but Meich Hashem Alekecho, kinna, taiva, and kovod do not exist. And that is why the children managed to live in that world, completely insulated from anything, from any ra, from kinna, taiva, and kovod, and became supernatural, became beyond the levels of normal human beings, and they defied Yiridus HaDoros. That's Meich Hashem Alekecho. There's two Chassidus Shemaisas, which I believe you have to know to learn these Maisas. We learn it on a very simple level, and very funny. You have to understand the Maisa properly. There's one story of Rabbi Henoch and Alexander. And Rabbi Henoch Alexander went to Rabbunim B'Pshischa. Rabbi Henoch. Henoch Alexander went to Rabbunim B'Pshischa. And the word came out, he said, "How are you?" He said, "I am okay. I am okay." So Rabbinim said, "Oh, you're okay, that's very good. I want you to please go to a certain bris. Why don't you go to a bris? Other side of town's a bris. Go there." Anyway, he goes to a bris, and at the bris, somebody's wallet got stolen. So everyone was recognized, everyone knew, everyone else. The only person who was a stranger there was Rabbi Henoch. So they turn on Rabbi Henoch, and they start beating him up, and they tie him up, and they start interrogating him. And he said, "It's not me, it's Nishmir, it's Nishmir, leave me alone, it's Nishmir." Again and again and again. Eventually, he said, "Ask my Rebbe, I'm telling you, it's Nishmir." Eventually, go back to the Rebbe, "Is he a Elech Yid?" "Yes, Elech Yid, leave him. So he comes back and says, "What's going on here?" He said, "If you start to say the word ich, on oichi, yet the truth is, you've got to say again and again, it's Nishmir, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me, it's not on oichi, it's not on oichi, it's not on oichi." That's one Maisa. The other Maisa, the Rebbe once went to the particular chos went to the Zritcha Magid. On the way back, he went to Aaron Kalina, and it's a freezing cold night. The snow was coming down. He knocks on the door, and Aaron Kalina, he's a Kalina chosid. Aaron Kalina hears the son knocking on the door. He says, "Vedus, who is this?" He says, "Ich, it's me. Open the door. Recognize the voice. Ich." So Aaron goes back from the door, sits down by his sefer again. Carries on learning, and the snow is coming down, and it's freezing cold, and wind is howling through. After a few minutes, a gamin knock at the door. "Vedus, who is this?" "This ich." Sits down again, carries on learning. This carries on for hours. Hours, this guy is shivering away out there. It wasn't dangerous, he's shivering away there. Eventually, Aaron opens the door. He said, "Where do you come back? Who are you?" He said, "You don't recognize me, Rebbe." "Of course I recognize you. Where were you?" He said, "I was by the Mizritcha Magid." He said, "You've been the Mizritcha Magid." "And I ask you who you are." He says, "Anoichi." You say, "Ich." "You did not learn by the Mizritcha Magid. There's only one Anoich Hashem Alekecho." That's what I didn't recognize. I could not understand that such a chosid could be learning by Mizritcha Magid all this time and there's any other ich but the Rebbein Shleim. Only any other Anoichi. Go back. And he sent it back and learned by the Mizritcha Magid longer. What's Peshat in these Maisas? There's no such thing as Anoichi. There's no such thing as I when there's Rebbein Shleim. If there's an I, then I think I deserve what the other person has. There's kinna. I think that I want this thing. There's taiva. I think that I did this job. There's kovod. There's nothing but the Rebbeinu Shleilam. That is Yosef. Yosef controlled the Noichi to such an extent there's no kinna, taiva, and kovod in his children. At all. Who was Yosef's wife? Who was Yosef's wife? Says a pasuk. Pasuk in Parshas Miketz. Who's Osnas? Are they? Osnas Bas Potifera. Who's Osnas Bas Potifera? The prophet says in Perk Mem Ala Prophet Mem Hey. The Yitin Lois Osnas Bas Potifera Koyin Oyne Isho. Okay? Now, there's a little bit of a background to this. The Das Kenny brings it down, the Rabbeinu Bachai brings it down. Who was this Osnas? Why is the name Osnas? So we have here a very, very sad story. We have a case where Dino got raped by Shechem. Did you know they had a daughter from this rape? And the daughter came back to Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu said, "We can't have you in this house. This is a house of royalty. They can't have you walking around our house." How did Pshat in that? I do not know. So Yaakov Avinu took a little necklace and put it around her neck. A kamir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name around her neck. Kon Samafosh, other Pfosh, it just said, this is a child of Yaakov Avinu, a kamir, and sent her out to a, and hid her under a snare. Snare is a thorn bush. That's where the name Osnas comes from a snare. She was thrown out the house and she was dumped under a thorn bush. With Nissim, she somehow came to Mitzrayim, and Potiphar, yeah, why called Potiphar, the Rebbeinu Bachai talks about, Potiphar adopted her. So it's Bas Potiphar because he adopted her. Okay? When Yosef was crowned king, everyone was throwing the king, throwing Yosef, different things from the silver, the gold, to attract his attention. She didn't have anything to throw. All she had was this little necklace around her neck, so she threw that. And Yosef saw the Shem Hashem on it. And he said, who does this belong to? And he said, it's me, it's mine. He said, well, where do you come from? He said, well, I come from Yaakov Avinu. And he married her. That's a medrash. Zafkeni brings it down, Ben Abachai brings it down. Rabbi Yisai, we're talking about a girl who is a product, of a rape. Shechem and Dina. She gets thrown out of Yaakov Avinu's home. She is dumped under some thorn bush. She gets adopted by Ashes Potiphar's household, and Potiphar's household, the worst of the worst. Yosef just ran away from there. Terrible immorality. And what does she become? The mother of Ephraim and Manasseh. How? The Teretz is, she had round her neck an Anochi. She had a Kamir. She had a Shem Hashem. And even though she was driven out, and even though she suffered, and even though she was surrounded by Tumah, she had an Anochi Hashem Alekecho. She knew there is nothing else but the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no other power in the world besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that kept her. And not only did it keep her, it made her the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, a mother of Ephraim and Manasseh. She became the greatest mother in history. She produced two children like Ephraim and Manasseh. That is a koyach of Anochi. That is a koyach of defying nature. I just want to move up one. Just want to move up one last thought. There's a lot more to say. Time is running out. Just want to carry on one more thought on this particular thing. The pasuk says, "I thought this thought and I saw it." Where is it? Let me ask you. Where else did it say "Hatachas elakim onoichi"? Hatachas elakim oni. Here, by Yeshua said to his brothers, "Hatachas elakim oni." Where else was this mentioned? The word "Hatachas elakim onoichi."
Yaakov.
Good. What did Yaakov say?
Rachel.
He's saying to Rachel. Rachel said to Yaakov, "By kaneh Rachel bar chosui." Rachel was jealous of her sister. Rachel says to Yaakov, if I don't have children, I'm dead. So Yaakov says back to her, Hatachas elakim onoichi, am I instead of Ribbono Shel Olam? Right? Did you get that? Now, I've got two problems with that. First of all, what do you mean they can't Rachel bar chosui? Rachel's jealous of her sister. Was there any jealousy in Rachel b'chlal? Rachel gave away all the shimonim to her sister. Rachel was a sister who she knew that she was supposed to be the wife of Yaakov. And she knew that her other wife would go to Esau. And there she was, on the night of her own wedding. She took off her wedding dress and gave it to Leah. She hid under the bed. And she whispered to Leah all the simonim, that she'd not be embarrassed. There was kinah there. How is it possible? How is it shaykh kinah? Where's jealousy there? Says the Pasuk. Yaakov Avinu said to Rachel, Hatachas elakim onoichi, am I instead of Ribbono Shel Olam? Says the Pasuk, that wasn't nice. Yaakov should have davened for her. Midah keneged midah, generation later, Yosef said to the brothers, Hatachas elakim onoichi, am I in the place of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? In other words, it was an onus for what Yaakov said. Yaakov tachas elakim onoichi, Yosef said to his brother, Tachas elakim onoichi. But that was with regard to Yaakov. What's with regard to Rachel? Rachel got the message, Rabbi Yisai. Rachel got the message that Tachas elakim oni means that there's nothing but the Ribbono Shel Olam. Before she could have Yosef, before she could possibly create a supernatural man called Yosef who defies any other person's belief of Anoichi. He is the one who actually has a real belief of Anoichi that can produce children like Ephraim and Manasseh, who have no kinnah, no taiva uncovered. There's one little tiny nakud over there. There's one little tiny mark over there that's got to be eradicated, got to be erased. That Rachel believes that there's something called a Talmud Chacham before the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and therefore she goes to her husband to ask. No, there's no one else in the world. There's you and there's Rabbeinu Shleilam. And therefore, until that is absolutely identified and cleared with her in her own mind, there is no other essence in the world but Rabbeinu Shleilam, she cannot have Yosef. She cannot have Yosef. Rachel had kinnah, chas v'shalom. But there's a slight little nekud over there of Rachel believing in something else in the world besides Anoichi. She had to clear that away. She had to be given Musa by Yaakov Avinu to know there's nothing else but Anoichi to produce a Yosef who could produce a Ephraim and Manasseh. That is a koyach of knowing there's nothing else but the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ich, there's no such thing as ich, there's Anoichi Hashem Alekecho. Rachel said to her sisters, listen Rabbi, let's finish off with this. Rachel said to Leah later on in the parasha, when they can the Rachel be'achoyfei, the Pasuk says, in parasha ve'yetze, try and close the door a second, please. The Pasuk says, here, the Yerech Reuben makes Tzeach Kittim, the Yimsa Tzedoyim Basode. Reuben's going in Tzeach Kittim, he finds Tzedoyim in the field. The Yove Oysim Aleh, him brought him to Leah, his mother. The Toyma Rachel Aleh, Rachel said to Leah, T'ni li mududeich b'neich, give me from these flowers. The Toyma Lo, and Leah said to Rachel, Hama'at kachteich es ishi, it's not enough, they took away my husband. Rachel took away Leah's husband. V'lo kachas gam es Tzedoyim b'ni, you took away my Tzedoyim as well. Batoma Rachel, Rachel said back to her, Lechein Yishkav Imoch HaLayla. Okay, you know what? You're right. Therefore, you take Yaakov for that night, which really belongs to me. Can I be Rachel? I said, Leah, 1 second. Hama'at kachteich esbali. Just to remember what happened a few months ago, when he got married. Who took whose husband? Who took whose husband? I took off my wedding dress and gave it to you. And you're telling me, Hama'at kachteich esbali. You took my husband. What a chutzpah! Rachel doesn't say that. Rachel says, you're right. Okay? That if you want something back, fine. Have Yaakov Venus tonight instead of me. How can he? Unbelievable. Rabbi Sai, how does he do that? That is superpower. That is unbelievable. That is beyond seichel that she can do such a thing. The answer is, if you believe in Anoichi, if you believe there's nothing in the world but Rabbi Shleinim, and that the Rots and Hashem, then there's nothing. There's no kinnah, there's no taiva, there's no covet. And a sister can say that to you, and it doesn't mean anything to you, goes straight over your head. If that's what Rabbeinu Shlomo wants, if that's the Ratzon Hashem that Yaakov married Leah, then Rachel's going to make Leah believe that that was Ratzon Hashem, and I'm not in the picture at all. That was your husband. Rachel gave the belief to Leah to such an extent, there's no kinnah taiva uncovered, that Leah actually believed that she was the correct wife, and Rachel was the one who was elbowing in on the relationship. That is the koyach of Anoichi. Knowing there's nothing in the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't control. There's nothing in the world but Ratzon Hashem. There's no kinnah, there's no taiva uncovered. And Rachel can give the feeling to Leah, and she can really believe it, that she was the correct wife. I raise emotions over here. There's no emotions if there's no me. There's only emotions if there's me and there's Rabbeinu Shleilam. If it's only the Rabbeinu Shleilam, then we can have a supernatural situation where you can have a Ephraim and Manasseh that can defy kinnah, taiva uncovered and become the Uvin Kirushim and Yuli.
Right, not good.